Senator Woodsum, Representative Barry, my name is Joel Harrington. I am the head of government affairs at Central Maine Power Company, and I serve on the company's management team, leadership team as well. I do not work for a lobbying firm. I'm actually an in-house employee for the company. I'd like to welcome new members of the committee. I'm a resident of Brunswick, and I guess my background is I've sort of been on both sides of many of these issues. I was actually in a management position at the Nature Conservancy, so I want to welcome Rob Wood to the lobbying core here in the Energy Committee, and I can tell you they are indeed a fine organization, and their science is the best. And I'm not saying that to earn any points from Rob, but I certainly agree with him on that.
Can we take that to mean that you'll agree on all issues?
We'll get there. We'll get there at some point. I also was vice president of Audubon Society in New Hampshire. I was on the environmental law faculty at Vermont Law School teaching environmental law in their number one environmental law program. I am a environmental lawyer by background, and also a professor at Plymouth State University, where I taught environmental law is there as well. So, and I'm also a college football official. I don't know if many folks on the committee knew that, but I do officiate college football at the D3 level. One of the things I just want to say about the company is, as many of you know, Central Maine Power has been in Maine and was formed by Walt Wyman back in 1899. I think he was 21 years old, was in Oakland, Maine, and bought a small hydroelectric power station in Oakland, Maine at that time to power many of the homes in that area. And eventually it ended up helping to power the trolley in Waterville. And he grew that company into what we know as of today as the state's largest energy delivery transmission distribution company. We do not generate electricity. As you know, the legislature, through restructuring in 1997, took CMP out of that business. But CMP for many years built, owned, and we operated the backbone of what we know today as Maine's renewable energy economy. And we've had a long, important history of being an economic driver in Maine. In fact, many people may not know, but we built the Bucksport Mill back in the, I think, late 20s or early 30s. And that was a time when it had 600 jobs. We got it before we sold at the time. It was about 600 jobs. And we also, at that time, built the world's first floating power station and actually have a patent to that. And that was at a time when we were powering that mill and waiting for infrastructure to be developed to power that station. We actually owned the Fort Fairfield and operated successfully and efficiently the Fort Fairfield biomass plant. Actually, in the 90s we did that. And that was, again, we sold that at a time of restructuring as well. And, of course, we built many of the state's hydropower facilities and owned and operated them for many years. And then bringing us to present day, we built out the state's smart grid infrastructure. And a few years ago, Maine was identified as having one of the most dynamic smart grid advanced structures in the United States and has been touted by many in the industry with our smart meter investments. And the investments we've made at our substations in terms of reclosers, which you might hear more about as we go down the road. But it basically, you don't need to call us anymore. We know when you're out. In the old days, we used to have to drive a truck down the road and see which homes were out. We don't do that anymore. We've made substantial investments and continue to make substantial investments in electric vehicle infrastructure and have given away hundreds of thousands of dollars to over 20 nonprofits in the state of Maine to build out that infrastructure for charging stations and for electric vehicles, and we'll continue to make that a commitment. And then lastly, just last year, we completed the Maine Power Reliability Project, which is a $1.4 billion upgrade to Maine's bulk transmission system, which is the backbone of our electric delivery system. And that was an identified need by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission as a reliability project because of significant constraints that were happening on our transmission system to get generation out into the market. That was a 1950 Chevy, and we brought it up to what it is today. Nearly every aspect of our operations, including our rates, are regulated by the Public Utilities Commission and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And to those entities, nearly everything about our company is open to those entities and to those regulators. In fact, much of in various proceedings, the public will see that information as well. And I think that's really important because there are not many entities similarly situated that may come before the committee that have that level of regulatory oversight. And I think it's something we take very seriously. We deliver about 9 billion kilowatt hours of electricity annually to more than 600,000 homes and businesses, about serving about a million people in the state of Maine, roughly a little over 80% of the population. We employ over 1,000 people in Maine and hundreds more through subcontracting. Our service area is 11,000 square miles, which is roughly the state of Maine, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island combined, with 26,000 miles of transmission and distribution lines. We paid $48 million in property taxes in 2016, and we invested nearly $210 million last year in capital investments in Maine. Some of the issues that I think will be coming before you, and some of the, challenges I think we have going forward as a state. Not only, as some of the previous speakers have spoken about, do we have challenges on how do you get the right policy, but how do we, in our system, in our world, you know, how do we integrate new technologies? And the challenges of integrating renewables, whether at all levels, whether it's at the distribution level, or even at the transmission level, that integration is the policies that are forcing some of that generation to come online is certainly changing the way we think and manage and construct and invest in our system. The diversification of our supply is a critical, critical issue. We are substantially over-reliant on natural gas right now. And in terms of price stability, predictability, if you will, diversification really needs not just to be a Maine goal, but it needs to be a New England goal. And I don't think we're quite there yet because we are so susceptible to price spikes when there's challenges in those various fuel markets. But one of the things, at the end of the day, what customers want, we hear this from customers all the time. They want their lights on, and they don't want a high electric bill, and they want us to leave them alone. They really don't. They just want to get their bill, pay it. They want the lights on. They don't want to pay a lot. And I think that really every day when we come before this committee makes us think about those folks. We sent out 614,600 disconnection notices last year. We remotely disconnected 75,583 of those people. We are always cognizant that many of our customers struggle to pay their monthly energy bill, and particularly small businesses. There was a substantial number of those that number were small businesses. You know, if the committee is considering a proposal that would artificially increase rates, you may see us advocate for those customers because we don't want to shut them off, and we don't want to make the monthly electric bill a struggle for families in Maine. Every time you pass or consider a policy that may increase electric rates, no matter how small that increase may be, it's regressive. It's not like tax policy. Tax policy is based on your income level. But electric rates affect everybody at the same, no matter what their income is. So it's very regressive, particularly hurting lower income people the hardest. We're certainly always willing to work with stakeholders to reach the best policy outcome for Maine. I certainly hope we demonstrated that last year in a couple of policy proposals. We're always available to the committee to answer any questions, irregardless of where you are on the issue. And you can contact me, email me anytime, and available and happy to answer any questions. So thank you to the three members who are here.
Thank you. I'm sure the others are listening in.
I hope you're all listening.
And are there any questions? Senator Woodson.
You said that you have the smartest grid and meter system in the nation. It sounds like it's helping CMP, but how is it helping the customer? I mean, I don't. From what I was told when this came about, and I was a selectman in my hometown, and they came and presented this smart meter idea to us. I don't feel it has lived up to what was promised, okay? I mean, what is still in the box that is can help us?
Yep. So thank you for the question, Senator. I think there's a few things, and I'm not going to touch on all of them, and I think you'll be seeing more. The two most recent examples of how smart meters are helping customers is, if you haven't done it already, and I encourage everybody here, you should sign up for outage alerts, which will come to your cell phone, and it will tell you exactly, it'll tell you that you have an outage, which we all will know. But not only that, it'll give you an estimated time of restoration and what the potential cause of that outage was. And that is a direct result of smart meter information coming into our system and being able to communicate that back to the customer. The other thing you can sign up for is basically usage alerts. And it's sort of similar to the old days when your cell phone plan, when you reached a certain level, and I think they may even still do this now, you get an alert that says you've reached 75% of your usage. So you go into this, you go on online, you put in, okay, I only want to use 550 kilowatts this month. You put in sort of, and once you reach that or get close to that, you get an alert to your cell phone that says you are close to your 550 or percent that you're close to. And at that time, you may make behavioral adjustments in how you use electricity. When we piloted that with customers, we took a group of customers and piloted that, we saw actually a 2%. It was a small group. We saw a 2% reduction when they were getting those alerts. We're still collecting data in the past 6 months as to what it's been doing in terms of usage in the past 6 months, but some behavioral changes have happened. That's sort of the customer face. That's what you see. Of course, there's the, you don't have a meter truck coming to your house anymore. We don't roll out. We used to roll out, I don't know how many hundreds or tens of thousands of miles of trucks that used to be on the streets in Maine spewing out CO2. We don't do that anymore. The duration at which you are out and at which we restore power has been cut. In comparison to pre-smart meters, we restore quicker, and the outage duration is not as long for that customer. We call them SAIDI and CAIFI numbers, and those who are in the electric industry know what those numbers mean. And the commission actually monitors our SAIDI and CAIFI numbers because there are penalties associated with long outages and the number of outages to our company. So that's because of smart meters. We're able to pinpoint where the outages are. We sort of ping a meter here, ping a meter here, and find out where outages are in between some of those meters. There's a whole map and electronic system that does that for us. That's all sort of back room. The other back room component is we now know we used to do monthly bill estimates. So we used to go to your house, roll a truck out there, and look at the meter and do monthly bill estimates through that. Now we know through smart meters your actual usage. So why does that matter? When suppliers are looking and bidding into the market and contracting to serve customers, we supply them, and we don't give them your name, but there's actually a digital code associated with accounts. We give them the digital code plus the usage to the supplier. So when the supplier goes out into the market and is bidding in the market, they have actual usage, they have actual customer usage data. And so they can buy the exact amount of supply instead of having an estimated amount that they may not use. What that does is it helps on price. We don't have comparison to say, okay, what would your price have been if it was an estimate versus what it would have been if it was a smart meter. But that's another sort of backroom facing piece of technology we've used. So,
yeah, you mentioned the, it was basically, CMP was concerned about the natural gas types of energy spikes, and you're looking for diversity of energy sources. What do you say?
So I think, and maybe I'll be clear. When and this went for when we had the coal situation, we were over-reliant on coal. And then natural gas came into the market, and we had a number of power plants operating in the coal space, and we had price spikes in that market. When we over-rely in our fuel supply market in the region on one fuel, we are susceptible to the risks associated with that fuel. And so we're susceptible to the price spikes in that fuel. The example is gas capacity, and you've heard a lot about why we need more gas capacity. And because we haven't been able to get more gas capacity into the New England market, as you've heard in previous presentations, when there are constraints, that affects the supply price, that affects the gas price, and that's passed on to customers because we are over-reliant on natural gas generation in the region. And so we've always, I think, thought that the more we diversify that portfolio in the New England region, that makes us less susceptible to the risks of price fuel volatility.
So are you looking at renewables or some other source or what? I mean,
We're not looking at anything because we're not into generation. I'm just making what I'm saying is that diversification in our portfolio is important for our customers.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming by.